So, welcome to the Real God, number four, Real People Podcast. I'm with my big bro, D to the Anthony. D Anthony, jumping on the pod with us. You want to introduce yourself to the folks?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Yeah, man, shot a shot, go back, man. And one of the first brothers I actually met, you know, when I, you know, moved to Atlanta. But glad to be on, man. The discussion for today is kind of right in my wheelhouse, and so you know, my background is, of course, is mental health, clinical mental health, and very passionate also, you know, about the areas of pastoral care, and just kind of bridging the gap between the two.
Yep. Now, big bro has been one of those ones that I have been grateful to be able to call friend, but also to be able to call brother, where like the goal in pastoral care or counseling really is to help a person, just like the church, make their next step. But sometimes there's things that we're going through that require a little bit more under the hood work in order to support them in actually serving the Lord well. And so one of the pods we wanted to talk about briefly, because D'Anthony has his own practice on the clinical side, and I'm currently pursuing the pastoral counseling on the ministry side, is just how do we work with folks to actually be able to move past trauma from a biblical standpoint, but even sometimes a clinical standpoint, because I think the space where the church has realized we haven't served well is simply by, with good intention, saying, hey, man, we're going to pray and we're going to believe in God, and just leaving it at that. When at sometimes folks need to be able to have somewhat of a sounding board or somewhat of an affirmation, hey, what you've experienced was not common, and it's okay to feel a certain way about how you've experienced these things, but how do we move forward, right? And so one of the questions I had from a big bro was, hey, how does a person's past really play a role into how they move as an adult, even in our daily lives, right? So what you got, what you think?
Man, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, I guess it starts with just understanding, you know, just the nature of trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's something that we all talk about, but I think a lot of times people have, there's some misconceptions to it. Mm-hmm. There are different elements of trauma, if you will. So, you know, for instance, just to name a few, you have like historical trauma. Mm-hmm. You have transgenerational trauma, you know, that you know, people typically hold on to for a long time. You know, you also, you know, when you look at trauma on this spectrum, you start to see it as, you know, is the goal really to get past it, right? Yeah. Trauma is any event or situation that is overwhelming, you know, that that a person lacks the internal resources, you know, be that emotional, spiritual, mental, physical, they lack the resources in order to overcome that particular situation or event, you know, and that's the nature of it, you know. And so when you look at that, yeah, it's helping people to get past it, is also helping them. The starting point should be acknowledging it and understanding it. We spend a lot of times, and I can say the same thing even apply, you know, this would be a conversation for a different time. It applies to suicide. Yeah. It's one of those things where you look at suicide, you say, well, hey, how do we get past this? You know, suicidality is not something that we get past. Neither is trauma. It's something that we have to learn to understand.
That's it. No, that's it. Like the way I look at it too, is like you put it in the realms of suicide. I even can put it into the realms, and I think you would agree, of certain levels of sexuality or sexual abuse, right? If your first exposure to intimacy or sexual intimacy is not one that's biblical, and then you now are learning outside of the realms of scripture, and then now you're putting it into practice before anyone actually gave you any resources there or knowledge base, then now when the church comes in to play a role in kind of help with you with that sanctification, now that you made this choice, you're battling really your old mistress, which really was the first exposure you had to it. And I think sometimes as a church body, we can actually be a little unfair, because we're expecting them to make this jump past how they were exposed to it to now how we want them to receive it and move forward. And we'll kind of just say, well, you just need to trust in God and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. But it's like, man, a person only knows what they know. Like if I tell you my dad never taught me how to change my oil in my car, Mm-hmm. And you say, "What do you got? YouTube?" That's fine. It's still not the same as your dad taking you under the car, showing you how to put the jack up, showing you how to let the car heat up, and then that's taking right. the bolts off, letting all of the oil drain out before you get the oil cap and the filter and put the filter in and then close everything up and then put the oil in. Like, there's little nuances that I think folks don't realize that come from upbringing that sometimes we probably can't fully help them recover. We're helping them to cope. Does that seem yes. fair?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely. And that's kind of what, you know, what we get at, especially mm-hmm. from a clinical standpoint. Yep. Yeah. You know, you diagnose trauma, which the two types of trauma that you see in the diagnostic statistical manual, the DSM-5, mm-hmm. is what, you know, most clinical therapists use okay. or psychiatrists use is, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder or acute stress disorder, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Trauma, from a clinical sense, is a disruption. Mm-hmm. It's a disruption, you know, it disrupts, you know, a kind of a normal process mm-hmm. of development, a normal process of living. Mm-hmm. When we think about some of our collective traumas, mm-hmm. you know, COVID-19, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. disruption,
yep.
September, you know, 9/11,
yep.
disruption,
yep.
you know, mass shootings or school shootings, it's a disruption. Mm-hmm. And it is that what the maintains trauma is that inability to know, like, how do I live forward
mm.
having gone through this particular disruption, mm. you know. Do I want to get on an airplane again?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
do
mm-hmm.
I ever want to take my mask off again?
Nope.
Do I ever want to allow myself to trust any sense of normalcy?
Yep.
You know, again, and to your point, you know, when you look at the nature of trauma, mm-hmm. you know, and like the example you gave in terms of like sexual abuse, mm-hmm. you know, do I ever want to trust other men?
Yep.
Do I ever want to trust other women? Mm-hmm. Because what would be a normal interpersonal, you know, dynamic or connection,
yep.
you know, started with this particular disruption.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability as humans, I believe, to repress trauma,
mm-hmm.
to tuck it away because, you know, the God saw fit when he created us, you know, neurologically to put the flight or fight part of our brain.
Yep.
Next door to what we call the hippocampal part of our brain, which stores memory.
Oh man, okay,
right. And so it stores memory. So we have within our own minds, like whenever I recall an experience, mm-hmm. it is directly next door to the thing that caused me to get, you know, anxious or
yep.
to get fearful
yep.
or to want to run.
Yep.
And that's the survival mechanism of our brain. So. Mm-hmm. When we look at symptoms from a clinical standpoint, really the body is doing, the brain is doing what the body is telling it,
yep,
right? Or the
yep.
body is doing what the brain is telling it in some sense. And so it's doing its job.
Yep, yep.
What we haven't, what hadn't happened, Rashad, is the restoration.
That's it.
Is the restoration. And if we look at, you know, just, let's look at biblically, like mm-hmm. his history of our ancestor of the Israelites. Look at all of the things that we've gone through,
yep.
and we see the results mm-hmm. of what happened. And this is more like from a pastoral care standpoint.
Sure.
You see the results. You know, like what happened. You like what happened. There was a fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sinned against God.
Yep.
We became sinful people all throughout biblical history.
And almost, you know, seems like sin is the disruption of how God originally ordained it.
It is the spiritual trauma.
Yep, yep, yep.
Right? It's the spiritual trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And so at our core, mm-hmm. it is the most, it is, it's like soul trauma
uh-huh.
for us.
That's
in some
it.
Sense.
That's
I might have made that up, but it is, that's what it is.
Yep.
It's like soul trauma. And until something happens,
mm-hmm.
you know, that allows me to feel restored,
mm-hmm.
to feel renewed,
mm-hmm.
to feel different, I'm unable to walk.
Nope.
Like I'm in prison. I'm defined by it.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
it consumes me. It overwhelms me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so when we look at, yeah, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the results of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I.e. I'm anxious. I'm paranoid. I, you know, don't know, you know, my connections with other people are kind of messed up. I'm unplugged. I'm not in community.
Mm-hmm.
That's the results of, yeah, of trauma, whether that's spiritual
yeah.
trauma, soul trauma, mental trauma, collective trauma, generational trauma,
yep.
it disrupted me, and therefore I live my life a certain way as a result of that.
Yep.
The part that we never really get to, and the part that that we're offered in our Christian faith and our Christian walk mm-hmm. that I think even as a clinical therapist lacks, you know, this piece of course is not in clinical therapy as it should be, is the remedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the remedy, mm-hmm. right? The remedy as we see it, of course, is Jesus Christ.
That's it.
You know, that's the remedy because that's what says he meets us in the disruption and says, you know, I took on this for you so that you can handle the things that you've gone through. You can deal with so many times throughout biblical history, the woman with the issue of blood, disruption.
Get out of my head.
There was a remedy, There was a remedy.
Yep,
the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, there was a remedy.
Yep.
You know,
and even in that remedy, we see Christ deals with the trauma by presenting something that she believes is the solution to the trauma. And it helps her understand, hey, before you get the solution, we got to deal with the problem. He tells him, literally, yo, you want this water that's everlasting so you don't drink again. And I think she even starts figuring out this is more than just physical water.
Exactly.
Hey, bring me your husband. And she's like, come on now. Come on now. Like, you really got to put my business out there like that?
Right.
But Christ is like, no. Don't think we're going to deal with you're going to give you the promise or the solution without first getting to the root. Because if I give this to you without you actually having a process to frame this in, you're going to actually lose the promise that I'm trying to give you because you don't have a structure or a vessel to keep it in. And I think that's almost a part of like the counseling space is, hey, let me work on the vessel and the root so that you really can start living out like the promise or living past the trauma that you've experienced. Because God never designed that for you.
But
No, I'm with you, big bro. I'm with you.
It's so powerful, man. One of the tools that I use, Shad, is, and I can, you know, send it to you if you're interested, man. I use this thing called the trauma tree. And I use it especially when I'm doing pastoral counseling, because what I want to show them is the illustration kind of suggests like at the roots, like there are some root issues that have happened in our lives, whether that's rejection, molestation, abandonment, neglect, some root issues that happen. And as a result of those roots, it creates kind of like a tree bark of falsehoods.
Yep.
Right. Because we become inauthentic, you know, because of these things. Yep. Normalcy is disrupted. And so now it's almost like I'm on a different path, on a different emotionally and spiritually. It kind of sets me on a different path. Yep. And as a result of that, we develop these particular falsehoods in ways of dealing with the pain. Right. And so we're not living. We're coping.
That's it.
You know, we're not living. We're coping. Mm-hmm. And that's where you see porn addictions, gambling addictions. That's where you see, you know, workaholism and, you know, even, you know, just pursuing, you know, just this person who always in school forever, like just degree. Yep. I mean,
like
you
an see achievement way, addiction almost.
Yeah. Putting layer. Yep. It's just layers of pain that sits right above, you know, those roots. Mm-hmm. And then above that, you grow into this tree of just falsehoods because of what you told yourself, you know. And at the top, what do you get? You get fruits.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But you know, if we look at from roots to fruits, you know, these are the kind of fruits that are like isolation, suicide, divorce, you know, domestic violence. And so a lot of times people, they see the fruits of their lives, but they don't understand the roots of it, you know. And we got a Christ, man, who he just didn't deal with the fruits. To your point with the lady, like, maybe the fruit was I'm here alone at a well and I'm trying to get water. But Jesus was like, nah. But what about these roots, though?
Roots, yo.
You know, let's get at that. So
I think like, where, and that was one of the questions we had, like where I think sometimes we miss at the church level is, hey, we immediately want to get to the fruit without taking the time to understand the root. Like saying to someone who has lost someone or struggles with commitment or struggles with value, saying to them, God loves you, without understanding maybe even their family dynamics first or their viewpoint on love. Maybe they feel like love comes with a catch. Like you say this, but it always came with a catch when I was younger. then we don't fully understand. It's difficult to even use that terminology with that person. Their outlook on simple things like love is not biblical, right?
Yeah.
But what's your thoughts, bro?
You can say it. Their outlook on those things that are of God are disrupted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Trust, love, commitment, consistency. You know, their outlook on fruits of the Spirit, like anything that allows them, those elements that allow them to actually be in community and in fellowship are disrupted, you know, and then later on transfer to their actual, you know, faith to God. You know? Well, now I just kind of I define God based on my perceptions of the trauma or the things that have happened to me. You know, how could God allow, you know, how could this happen? How could you, you know, allow this person to do this to me, or allow this person to do this to me? You know, he doesn't author any, you know, of trauma, you know, and because in its you know, more simpler sense, trauma is also loss. It's lost, you know, and it's lost. And there was never supposed to be any sense of lostness when it comes to our walk and our relationship with God, you know, but it's a loss of identity. It's a loss of relationship. We understand that as sinful people, it's a loss of fellowship.
That's it.
You know, and if sin first and foremost created a loss or a disruption of fellowship, you know, then it trickles down from that. And we look at any other trauma, any trauma you can think of, Rashad, any thing that you have heard have ever happened to anybody. If you were to just deal with the loss that occurred, just say, what was the loss? What did you lose as a result of that trauma? And just start there. And that will set off, that will set you into a place of at least knowing where I needed to be found. Because if I don't even know where the loss happened,
you don't know where to start.
I'm not sure where to start. And I'm not sure where I need Christ to find me, right? Where I need his love. And he's shown that he's willing to do that. He will come where you are, right?
Yeah, no, that's that, but that, like, I think that simplifies sometimes very complex issues. Like, I was reading a book, it's talking about like giving solution focused pastoral counseling. So, it's a way of giving like therapy that's making the individual the subject matter expert on their trauma, but also then walking alongside them to see not only how we apply biblical concepts to support them, but also how we get them to the point where they're independent in their coping mechanisms and addressing like their triggers. But what it makes me think of is sometimes, especially from a pastoral standpoint, we got this deep desire to always have the right answer to the person who's experiencing tragedy, loss, or some level of trauma. And sometimes the person just needs to be heard and maybe just affirm, man, that was a really tough situation. Okay. Now, what do you feel like you just said, what do you feel like you lost the most that you did not expect? Okay. What would be the ideal space later on in which you feel like you would be able to gain some of that back before you go to meet Jesus? Because I'm not going to sit here and say if you lost something like your virginity in some type of traumatic space, that you can gain that back. But what I can say is there is redemption and gospel, I mean, and hope for you later on in marriage if we're able to address what it is you feel like you lost, right?
Exactly.
And I think, you know, but I feel like we miss that because we always want to have this silver bullet because it makes us look like we're the greatest pastor to ever walk the face of the earth. But I felt like what may help folks who are walking alongside folks, and I love your take on that, is like, what are some possible stages someone who is walking alongside someone that's struggling with past trauma and have tried to figure it out on their own, but haven't gotten there, from a clinical and even maybe a little bit of a pastoral standpoint, what are some stages that a person listening that serves could support someone that's struggling with trauma and past loss?
Absolutely. I mean, from a clinical standpoint, you know, we have to understand that trauma is there's different elements to it. You know, first in understanding, like, what are the elements to the type of trauma that this person experienced, right? You said, you know, like, with, you know, someone who's been sexually abused, well, that with that trauma, there's going to come, you know, very particular elements, you know, and one aspect of that could be shame, right? Mm-hmm. You know, is this person really dealing with shame? And so what, because there is what happened, and then there's what the person told themselves about what happened, right? When we look at kind of the example, like let's look at Katrina, for example, you know, I don't think there's any particular shame that's connected to that because it was a more collective type of trauma or situation. But nonetheless, you know, when I've gone down and I've talked to victims about that, you know, you see this sense of fear or this sense of like, man, my whole world is gone. My whole life is gone. Mm-hmm. Right. You see this mistrust, you know, I can't trust anymore. So anytime we see somebody who's experienced something traumatic, there's what happened. And then there's this story that they start to tell themselves about what happened, because that trauma in itself is makes this seem like it makes this attempt to integrate now into this person's life. And from a neurological sense, you know, it's just really nestled into a part of the brain, you know, that says we don't want this to really happen again, or we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where I might get hurt, or I might get abused, or I might lose, or I might this. And so, you know, dealing with the story rather than the situation sometimes, you know, because they could be far removed from the actual situation, but the story lives on. Right. The story lives on. At 5 years old, it happened. And here we are like at 40. And I still tell myself that it's not safe to be around certain types of people. Yep. And that's where we have to meet them. We have to meet them in the story.
OK, so start with getting.
Sometimes we want to. Yeah, exactly. We like you said earlier, sometimes people want to be like, you know, superheroes, and they want to rescue them from, you know, that particular situation, you know. But God didn't call us to rescue that. He called us to be, you know, counselors, to be support, and to be able to.
Also find our podcast on most major music platforms or podcast platforms like iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Apple Music. Y'all have a blessed one, and I can't wait to jump back into this next week. Talk to you soon.